We looked at how God has His own watch. And this thing is running on God's timetable. It's not running on Washington's timetable. It's not on Eastern Standard Time. It's on God's time. And God's going to bring everything to pass just like He said He was going to do. Can I get a witness right there? Today we want to look at another facet of prophecy. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. I realize every time I stand that I have eternal things before me. I got a text this morning from Brother Joe Chanson. He said, "Preach, preacher." I texted him back and I'd prayed for him this morning. I said, "I prayed for you this morning." I said, "Preach, preacher." I said, "Preach as a dying man to dying men, and is sure never to preach again." This may be the last meeting that the church ever has. Might as well make it the best we've ever had. Might as well go ahead and enjoy God, because Jesus is coming just like He said He was. And this could be the very last meeting that the church... You realize that somebody in this room could be lost and they may get saved today, and that would complete the body of Christ. We're out of here when that happens. Yeah, man. I'm telling you what, prophecy stirs me. Knowing when we lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming, we've lost all hope of any future. Matter of fact, I preached last Sunday that the person of prophecy is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there's nothing to look forward to. Well, I wish I'd get more than two witnesses on that. Without Jesus, there is nothing to look forward to. All is vain without Jesus Christ. This morning, we want to look out of Matthew chapter 24, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 24, begin with me in verse number 1. It said, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He was prophesying to them right there. He was letting them know that there was coming a time in Jerusalem where every building of the temple was going to be torn down, and it came to pass just like Jesus said it would. Verse number 3. The disciples gather Him privately, and they ask Him, and He said upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" You do realize this world is going to have an end to it. It's not going to last forever. It's already preordained by God how this world's going to end. And this world has an end in its future. What struck me as I was looking at that verse number 3, is that the disciples knew that He was leaving and coming back, but they could not understand Calvary. They could not understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when they came into the garden to arrest Jesus, Peter was willing to fight because he could not understand Calvary. They asked Him, "Lord, tell us, when's the sign of Thy coming, the end of the world?" And Jesus begins a discourse through chapter 24 of some things that we can look forward to upon this world. He begins there and tells them, look in verse number 8, about the beginning of sorrows. We began those times years ago, the beginning of sorrows. Time where many false prophets were going to arise, where kingdom was going to move against kingdom and dominion against dominion, where there were going to be pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. That's the beginning of sorrows. But we want to look at this part of prophecy this morning in verse number 21. Where the Lord tells them, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Let's read that verse again, because I want that verse to settle in every heart that's in this room. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." The Lord said there's coming a time upon this world known as the Great Tribulation Period. And He said it was going to be like no other time that this world has ever seen. He said it's going to be a terrible time, a horrific time. And this world's never seen the liking of what's known as the Great Tribulation. I want to use that text this morning and preach about prophecy's tribulation. And more or less just kind of introduce that thought to some of you here. Maybe you've never heard of prophetic preaching. Maybe you've never set up anybody that'll go into detail about things that lays in our future. But I guarantee you every person in this room is interested in the future. This world is interested in the future. And this Bible tells us what befalls our future. We want to pray, and then we're going to preach this message on prophecy's tribulation. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this blessed old book. I thank You, Lord, that it has never lied to any of us. But Lord, it is truth from beginning to end. It tells us the beginning, it tells us the end. And Lord, I pray that for a little while that You'd enable me, Lord, to stand before these people and present this truth of Scripture as I should, Lord. May Your anointing be upon me, Father. May the unction and the utterance and the understanding be granted, Lord, this time, that I might be able to preach, Lord. And Father, I pray not for just myself, but I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I'm certain that there's someone here lost that's never been born again. I pray, Father, that God, that You would arrest their attention right now. That, Lord, You would deal with them about this truth. Lord, that they might escape this horrible time coming upon this earth known as the Great Tribulation. We love You, Lord, and we sure do thank You for loving us and taking such great care of us. Thank You for this time to gather around the Word of God. And Lord, You add Your favor and Your blessings to it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. In this private meeting with His disciples, the disciples were desirous to know of when Jesus was going to come back. They knew that He was going to leave. They knew that He would be coming back one day. They could understand all of that. But they wanted to know, Lord, would You tell us some of the signs that are going to involve itself around the coming of You to this earth? And then they asked this question, Lord, would You explain to us, would You help us better understand the end of the world? Jesus begins His what's known as the Olivet Discourse by scholars. And He begins telling them of all the things that they could look for leading up to this time known as the end of the world. He tells them about the beginning of sorrows. He tells them about all the things that we are witnessing even today, that beginning of sorrows that is surmounting itself in this world today. He began telling them about the wars and pestilences and the earthquakes in divers places. He began telling them and prophesying to them of all these events that we are witnessing today just like Jesus said. And then he began telling them about going even further into it and said that there was going to come a time where the abomination of desolation was going to be set up in the temple, in the holy place. He said, when you see these things, he said, beware. He said, because these things are going to come to pass on this earth. And then he said this, then shall there be great tribulation. He said, it's going to come a time upon this earth like this world has never seen. And this world has seen some devastation. Can I get a witness? But he said this tribulation was going to be like no other time that this world has ever seen. And Jesus told us about this great tribulation. I want to preach for just a little while with that thought in mind about the tribulation. And I want to tell you about some things that are going to usher in this time called the tribulation period. You see, we're living right now in what's known as the church age. And I'm thankful to be a part of the church. I'm thankful that God saved me and put me into what's known as the church. The church age began back with the coming of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, and His resurrection ensured the birth of the church in Acts chapter number 2. You see, we are living in the church age today. But the church age is going to come to an end. When it comes to an end and we're called out of here, then enters this time called the tribulation period. I want you to notice with me, come back to Jeremiah 30 with me please, Jeremiah chapter 30. It's important that you understand some of these things because there's a lot of confusion today about prophecy and end times. There's people that are beginning, I'm talking about Baptist churches, I'm talking about good Baptist, fundamental Baptist churches that are beginning to believe in what's known as a split rapture, or that the church is going to go through the tribulation. I want to show you some things from the Word of God this morning that I believe is going to help you in this matter. I want you to notice in Jeremiah chapter 30 what the tribulation period is called concerning Israel. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 30, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write these are all these words that I've spoken of thee in the book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Look up here just a minute. That began in 1948, just like the Word of God said, and Israel began going back to their homeland. They became a nation in 1948 upon the Balfour Declaration, and they raised that flag of Israel over Jerusalem, and they became a nation, a recognized nation, and ever since, and even to this day, they are still returning to the land of Israel. But I want you to notice something. In verse number 7, he says that, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. In the nation of Israel, there's coming a time in Israel that's going to be called the time of Jacob's trouble. And the focal point of tribulation time will be the nation of Israel. Oh, there's a lot going on over there today, but she's not the focal point right now. But during the tribulation period, she will be the supreme focal point, and it will be a time where God finally purges the nation of Israel and redeems it unto himself forever. The tribulation period is known as a time of Jacob's trouble. But I want you to come to the book of Revelation. This is where I want to settle in at this morning. In Revelation chapter number 15 with me. Revelation chapter 15, you've got to understand this. The tribulation period is known as different things in the Word of God. But I want you to notice from the book of Revelation, which tells us about the tribulation period. I want you to look with me what the tribulation period is called in the Word of God. In Revelation 15 verse 1, it says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. The tribulation period is known as the wrath of God. The tribulation period is going to be a time where God pours out all of His wrath upon this earth. The wrath of them crucifying His Son. The wrath of God poured out upon this world. It's going to be a terrible time. A time like this world has never seen before. Notice in verse number, chapter 16, in verse number, look in verse number 7. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Look in chapter 16, verse number 1. It said, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The tribulation period is known as the wrath of God upon this earth. Looking back in chapter 6, bear with me while I lay this foundation, please. In chapter 6, in verse number 15, the Word of God says this, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm talking about the ushering in of this tribulation period, and the tribulation period being known as a time of Jacob's trouble, but also as the wrath of Almighty God upon this earth. Now, will you back up with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 with me, please. It's important that you understand this. We're about to get on shouting ground. Amen. We are in right now the church age. And the church age is going to end with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and Jesus himself descending from heaven and getting his church out of this world. That's how the church age is going to end. Look in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. God don't want us ignorant. Amen. Amen. He said, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, is anybody in here like that this morning? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's what salvation is based upon. It's not based on your baptism. It's not based on your good works. It's not based on your church membership. It's all based on the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can be as good as you want to, but you'll still die and go to hell without Jesus in your life. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now watch it closely. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They rise first because they're 6 feet lower than we are. Amen. And then it says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's some people that think they're going to go through the tribulation, but I've got news for you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you'll never enter the tribulation. You're going to leave this world before that time. Thank God for what's called the rapture of the church. Amen. Look in chapter number 5 with me. He said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, talking about the leaving of the saints of God. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. By the way, There's a song that we sing said that He shall so gently lead us away. There ain't going to be no gentle leading us away to it. He's going to rapture. He's going to catch us out of it. He's going to take us out of this world. Amen. Brother Dean McNeese said that he believed He's going to take us out like He did Elijah. Elijah, in the Word of God, said that He would pick him up by the hair of the head. That leaves me out. Amen. That leaves you out. Amen. Some of us ain't going to make it if it goes that way. He's going to pick us up out of this world by the power of Almighty God. Thank God Jesus is coming back, and one word out of His mouth, and we're going to leave this world and go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Knowing that Jesus is coming back to take us out as a comfort. But I'm not through yet. He said, verse number 3, for when they shall say peace and safety. There's coming a time on this world when they think they've got their ultimate end. He said, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Now look in verse number 9. You've got to see this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. What is the tribulation called? It's called the wrath of Almighty God. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today to know that we're not going through the tribulation period. Hallelujah. I got saved, and all I knew when I first got saved, I wasn't going to hell. I started shouting about that. Amen. That's enough to, oh Lord have mercy, that's enough to shout about, to know that you're not going to hell. Every person in this room deserves to go to hell, but those that are saved aren't going to hell. Thanks be unto God for the salvation of Jesus Christ, and we will never see hell. Amen. Man, the choir got to singing one day in that little Southern Baptist church I was a part of. And all I realized was I wasn't going to hell, and they got to singing about going to heaven. And then I got to realizing not only am I not going to hell, I was going to heaven. I started shouting all over again, thinking about me going to heaven. Amen. Amen. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but those that are saved are going. Amen. Just to think about that. And then I learned from Scripture that I was not going through the tribulation period. You see, I was bothered with that before I ever got saved. Matter of fact, I told my wife, we had one child. And I told my wife, I said, we're not having any more children, because I'd read over there that said, woe be unto you that were suffering with child in those days. And I got concerned about that. I told my wife, I said, we're not having no more children. She said, why? I said, because of what Matthew 24, that verse of Scripture says. I said, it's going to be woe to them that are with child. I said, no, we're not having any more children. Then I learned how to rightly divide the Word of God. I've learned, thank God, that we're not going through the tribulation period. Thank God. We'll never see it. We'll not want one day of it, of the wrath of God. He's not appointing us to wrath, but to obtain, thank God, salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a comfort to a child of God. And when we leave, the tribulation period begins. And Jesus is coming back for those that have been born again. If you're not saved this morning, if Jesus were to come right now, think about it with me. Jesus were to come right now and take out every person in this room that's saved, there'd be some of you left behind, and you'd enter into this time that Jesus said was going to be the most horrific time that this world has ever seen. Look in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians with me. By the way, every chapter of 1 and 2 Thessalonians mentions the coming of the Lord. That's the main theme of this book, is Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He comes the first time to the air, and He catches away the church, and they leave and gone for 7 years. The tribulation on earth goes on for 7 years, about 7 years on this earth, a time of devastation, a time of the wrath of God, a time of God Almighty. Hey, the worst enemy that this world's got is God. Amen. And God pouring out His wrath upon this world for the way they've denied Him and disrespected His Word. And God will pour out His wrath unmeasured upon this world. We'll get into more of that in another message. But I want you to watch this, chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. He said that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor word as letters from us. For as the day of Christ, hallelujah, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I talked about the ushering in of the tribulation, but now I want to speak just for a little bit about the unusual things that's going to go on during the tribulation period. I believe God is going to use America to set the platform for the Antichrist to take His power. I believe that's the prophetic spot that America is playing in this role that's playing out of prophecy today. I believe because of what some of the things that Washington's doing and our president is doing in the land of America today, I believe with all of my heart that God is using America to set that platform for the Antichrist to be able to come and seize power of the entire world. You know, it was at the inauguration of President Obama, his first inauguration. He said that he was a citizen of the world. He made that big statement and wanted us to get more worldly minded and our minds and our hearts set upon the world and the global aspect of things. And he sees himself as a world leader, not the leader of America per se, but a world leader. He wants to tell the world what they should do and how they should handle everything. There's coming a time on this earth that a man by the name of Antichrist is going to seize power of this world. He's alive today. He's alive today and he's just waiting his moment for the staging. Right now everything is just being staged and put together for him to rise to power and take his seat and authority in this world. He said, there shall not come that day, talking about us gathering unto him, except there come a falling away first. I made a statement last Sunday morning about that falling away. And because of that falling away of the church he's speaking about, it's caused many things. It's caused the church to deny the Lord today. The church don't want Jesus in it any longer. I'm not speaking about this church or any other church represented. I'm talking about the church as a whole. They don't want Jesus in their services anymore. They're doing fine without Him. They got their programs and they got their plans and they got it all mapped out. And they just don't want Jesus to show. I'm going to tell you something. The church has no hope without Jesus. It has no meaning without Jesus. It has no service without Jesus. We might as well close this book, pack our bags, and go to the house if Jesus ain't going to show up in our services. He said they're coming and falling away first. Churches denying the Lord. There's a decline in spirituality. There's a development of worldliness in Christianity today. There's a disrespect for holy things. There's a denial of sound doctrine, a disloyalty to Christian duties. There's a deepening of wickedness. There's a departure from the faith. And we're living in the days of the judges, in which every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, because there's no king in the church anymore. The church leaves. And it could be today. The church is gone. Can you imagine if around this, and it's not just, you do realize not just Maryville Baptist Church is leaving. It's worldwide. Every Christian, whether they've been planted in a graveyard or still alive and remaining, is going to be caught up and they're leaving. Can you imagine this world and the chaos that's going to begin? I said it a little while back. I'm going to say it again. That during that time, I believe that the devastation that they're going to experience during that time of the rapture is going to so overwhelm them that they're not going to be that concerned about all those people missing. They're going to be concerned about the devastation that that's going to cause. Can you imagine saved airline pilots up in the air with a passenger plane of 150 people going through the air, and then all of a sudden the captain of that ship is gone and the plane plunges to earth? Can you imagine railroad engineers on a train and they're saved and they've got all that cargo behind them and the engineer is taken out and then that train is just left to run wild on the tracks? Can you imagine the devastation that this world's going to begin seeing at the onset of the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period? But I want you to notice with me, in verse number 3, it says there's going to come that falling away, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. For just a little while, I want you to understand that during the tribulation period, that the Antichrist, who's known as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the son of perdition, is going to rise to power and rule this entire world. I'm not going to get into all the facets of the Antichrist today. I just want you to be aware of this one thing. That the Antichrist is going to rise to power in the tribulation period. He's called the son of perdition. Let's notice just a little bit about him. Verse number 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That's what our politicians are doing today. They're saying they're mightier than God and making legislations to overrule God's laws. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Whenever God wanted to manifest himself to this world, now I'm going to give you some, this is going to be some heavy stuff, okay, but you just hang in there with me. Whenever God wanted to reveal himself to this world, you know how he did it? He did it through his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world and manifested God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus, he's always been God, is God, always will be God. God came into this world through the person of Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist is going to be the son of Satan. I want you to come back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 with me. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. Would you look at this with me? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. Well, let's begin in verse number 14. I want you to see the context of this, what the Lord's speaking about. Adam and Eve have sinned in the garden because of Satan's deceit. He's more subtle than any beast of the field, and he came into that garden, that perfect paradise that God had placed Adam and Eve in. And Satan came in with all of his subtlety to rock Adam and Eve to sleep. And they sinned against God. When God came walking into that garden, God began pronouncing judgment upon Satan, the woman, the man, and our land, this world. And I want you to notice, beginning verse number 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Ladies, look up here just a minute, ladies. Satan hates you. Satan's got his mark on you. Ever since the day that he tricked the woman into sinning against God, he's had his mark on the women. That's why you need a man in your life as your authority. Now watch this. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between," he's speaking to the serpent, he's speaking to the devil, "between thy seed, and her seed." He talked about in Genesis 3:15 the seed of Satan. And one day the man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to rise to power. And he's going to be no other than the son of Satan himself. I got to thinking, I said, "Lord, why is all the stuff going on over in Jerusalem today?" And I began looking at everything and the way that the world is shaping itself. And you know about Hamas and ISIS and all that rising up against Jerusalem. You know about all the fighting that's going on over there today. And the Jews tell us that the reason they're fighting is because of that sacred spot known as the Dome of the Rock, where the Muslims have their Dome of the Rock today. And the Jews tell us the reason they're fighting the way they are is because they believe that to be sacred ground. They believe that was where Adam was formed, where God reached into the dust of the earth. They believe that was the part of the forming of man, right where that Dome of the Rock sits. They believe that's where Abraham offered up Isaac. They believe that that was the very spot that Solomon built his temple. But do you know why there's so much contention and so much fighting going on over that spot today? I'm talking about Jerusalem. There's not any fighting going on over Damascus. There's not fighting. They're not warring and fighting over America today. They're fighting over Jerusalem. Do you know why? Because that's where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, hung on an old rugged cross and died for the sins of the world. That's why that one spot is so fought over today. There began that battle that day when Jesus hung there on the old rugged cross. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. And ever since that day, there's been a battle over that one spot on planet Earth. They said that Alexander the Great, in all of his conquering days, said he got to one spot in his conquering that he could not conquer. And he said he had him a map, and he said on that map was a red spot. And he said he went to that red spot, and he had all of his generals and all of his leaders in there, and he put his finger on that red spot, and he punched it like that on the map, and he said, "If it weren't for that red spot, I could have conquered this entire world." And the devil puts his finger on Calvary, puts his finger on Jerusalem, and he said, "If it wasn't for that one spot, I could have conquered every soul." But Jesus Christ went to Calvary and hung in my place, in your place, for our sins, that we might be saved by the grace of God. The coming tribulation, we're going to get into more about it. More about the Antichrist, more about the tribulation period. But here's my concern this morning. In this room, on every pew, sits people. But what I realize is that on the inside of every one of you is an eternal soul that's going to live forever somewhere. You're either going to live in heaven or you're going to live in hell for all of eternity. I want to show you something this morning. Brother Bobby, if you will, start shooting those slides up there this morning. This is what's going on in Jerusalem today. He's just going to run those slides for us and let you see some of the devastation. But during the tribulation period, what you're looking at right there, all that devastation that's going on, is going to be worldwide. It's going to be global. There's not going to be one building left standing upon itself anymore. It's going to be total destruction during the time. You look at, there's going to be one picture that when it gets there, I'll point it out to you. It's just a sea of people, a mass of people, standing in line just for one bite of morsel to eat. People running, scared, carrying machine guns, fighting one another. Total devastation upon this land. Children wondering what's going on. Sea of people just standing in line just to get a bite of something to eat. That's going on today. That's over in Jerusalem today. You know what that's called? That's called the mystery of iniquity. That's what's going to happen when the Antichrist gets his power upon this world. Total devastation like this world has never seen. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Just leave that up, Brother Bobby, that last shot for me. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. I beg you in Jesus Christ's name, bow your knees to Him and receive Him into your heart that you might be saved. The only escape from this time called the tribulation period is the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand this morning.